Questions about political leadership are dominating the international stage right now. And with me for our weekly look at some of the biggest stories across the globe in the coming days is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones. And Rob, let's start in the UK, which is waiting to see who the next prime minister will be to replace Theresa May. This week, we'll find out who the final two candidates will be. What should we be looking out for?
Yes, Mark. Well, there were 10 candidates, all from the ruling Conservative Party, and this is a process of whittling down that 10 to find a new Conservative Party leader and therefore Prime Minister. Now, in the first round of voting last week, all 313 Conservative lawmakers cast their ballots, and the former Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson, a name your listeners I'm sure will have heard of, came out top on 114 votes. Boris Johnson's nearest rival, the current Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt, came second with 43. Now, three contenders were knocked out at that stage. A fourth withdrew on Friday, and that left six in the race. Conservative MPs will this week vote again, and by Friday of this week, we expect to be left with two candidates. So that's the immediate time frame. But if you think that's all, unfortunately, all of that kicks off 6 weeks of hustings across Britain in which those two candidates go head-to-head trying to woo the votes of grassroots members of the Conservative Party who will make the final decision. So, Mark, we expect to know who our new Prime Minister will be in the week of July 22nd. But the big question, of course, is around Brexit. The deadline now is October 31st for Britain to leave the EU. If Boris Johnson wins this horse race and becomes Prime Minister, he said he'll take Britain out of the EU with or without a deal. But how convincing is that? After all, Theresa May struck a deal with Brussels, but Parliament then voted it down three times. Parliament's also said it'll vote against a no-deal scenario, and Brussels says it won't reopen negotiations on the existing deal. So you can see it's quite complicated, and what we're watching really in the next week and the weeks to come is what will these candidates, Boris Johnson in particular, as he's the front runner, what will they possibly do to navigate around or over what appear to be these insurmountable barriers?
Big questions in UK politics. Rob, let's look at a number of other countries are also seeing demonstrations against current leadership. This is sure to continue this week. You're looking ahead to one particular country we may not have thought about, right?
Well, that's right, Mark. So we're watching, of course, the big demonstrations right now in Hong Kong, where protesters want the territory's chief executive to stand down. And your listeners will know about that story. But there's another story they might want to keep an eye on this week. It's in the Czech Republic. This weekend, we're expecting big protests there, calling for the country's billionaire prime minister to stand down. Now, this is a man who came to power on a promise to fight corruption, but who is now himself accused of the illegal use of subsidies paid to his country by the European Union. Weekly demonstrations against him began back in April, and they've built steadily. Our reporter in the Czech capital, Prague, Rob Cameron, says this coming weekend we'll see the biggest yet.
Czechs are bracing themselves this weekend for what could be the biggest ever demonstration since the 1989 overthrow of communism. Sunday could see several hundred thousand people pack a large open space not far from Prague Castle to make clear their dissatisfaction with their Prime Minister Andrej Babiš. Sunday's planned rally is a deliberate echo of November 1989 and the heady days of the Velvet Revolution. Back then, demonstrations against the communist system got too big for Prague's Wenceslas Square and moved to a bigger venue. Well, that's exactly what's happened with these demos 30 years later, and organisers hope the public pressure will be too much for the Prime Minister.
So that's our reporter Rob Cameron in Prague. But Mark, I should just add, Mr. Babiš, the Prime Minister, is a known fighter. His party is still well ahead in the polls, and he could ride out these protests.
Rob, we're also seeing demonstrations against the leadership in parts of Africa, right? In particular, Sudan. What can you tell us about what's going on there this week?
Yes, Mark. Well, a bit of backstory for you first. Sudan in East Africa, with a population around 40 million, grabbed the headlines this year, you might remember, when street protests led to the overthrow of the country's longtime dictator, Omar al-Bashir, who'd been in power for about three decades. The people rejoiced, particularly as the army promised it would oversee a transition to civilian rule. But the Transitional Military Council, as it's called, is now suspected of trying to hold on to power there. That suspicion was fueled by a violent crackdown in early June against protesters keen to see the army live up to its word. That protest in early June was attended by my colleague, Catherine Bairahunga, and a few days ago she filed this from the same location.
I'm standing by a busy road junction in Khartoum. When we were here a few weeks ago, there were thousands of people here. And in front of me is the railway bridge, where young men would sit and start banging it with stones, chanting. But now listen to it. It's all gone.
So, Mark, that protest is all gone. It was dismantled, and witnesses say it was done with brutal violence, protesters gunned down, even reports of, quote, bodies being thrown into the Nile. The Military Transitional Council says its militia had, quote, restored order and stability. That's all it said. Now, all this presents the West with a big conundrum. It supported the overthrow of al-Bashir, but what position does it take now when a government militia violently suppresses protests, switches off the internet, and so forth? We've not heard much from Washington, so it's significant that European foreign ministers are meeting this coming week to discuss the crisis in Sudan. That's a glimmer of hope for those dreaming of a democratic future there.
All right, that is the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mark.